Baseball is back.
He doesn't want a super spreader out there in the middle of the field.
The season is different. On the field, in the socially distant clubhouse, in the empty stands.
You guys wanted to do it. You've been wanting to do it for months.
There's a lot to talk about.
Who are you kidding? Don't give me all that bull crap.
And this is the place to do it. This is the Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass.
Brought to you by Big Y, Safety Insurance, Rodenheiser Home Services, Woodbridge Wines, Gravely, Budweiser, and Jackson Lumber.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Make this his last pitch of the day. And a victory for the Red Sox. Here comes the 0-2. Swing and a miss. He got him 95 miles an hour. The Red Sox win it. And a good victory for Boston today. 6-3 over Tampa Bay. The Red Sox wind up with a split of the series.
See, now that's a reason to celebrate. At least with the Red Sox in 2020, that is a reason to celebrate. A split of a four-game series with the Tampa Bay Rays. Red Sox win two. They don't lose ground. They go 2-2. That's a victory. If they'd been able to do that all year, they might actually be able to qualify for a playoff spot. How do you like that? But we all know how this has gone. 17-31. Red Sox over the weekend lost their 31st game on Saturday, assuring them of a losing season. And again, I don't think there's any question. I haven't looked at the standings lately, but I don't think there's any question they are going to finish last in the American League East again.
How did they end up splitting with the Rays? The Rays are a good team.
Incredible, right?
They fall asleep.
They won on Thursday. They won on Sunday. They lost the two in the middle. And I would say, believe it or not, of late, Murray, of late, and I'd have to give you the exact numbers, I think the Red Sox have been, dare I say, reasonably competitive.
5-5 in their last 10.
Yeah, it is. They've been, and I think it's even longer than that. I think that they have played reasonably competitive baseball for a little while now, and which really makes you look at that start to the season when they were absolute dog crap and say, well, if they had been ready to go out of the gate, if they had just been ready to go, that maybe they, you know, could have played 500 baseball and actually done something with themselves, as the expression would go. But we all know that that is gone. So I'm trying to just do some quick math here. They are 7-9 in their last 16, which is not horrible, but they just got out to such a god awful start that that none of it really matters. So in any case, 617-779-0985 is your number here on the Baseball Reporters. I have a big picture question for you that I'm going to ask you in 1 second, but here's where I'm going to begin. There are 9 episodes of the Baseball Reporters left. 9. Thank God that the Celtics are starting at 6:30 tomorrow. We are not on the air.
I am a Nuggets fan. I am forever indebted to the Denver Nuggets for them forcing a Game 7 yesterday.
So it's not often that you hear a talk show host say, thank God we're not on the air tomorrow, but I'm going to say it now. What the hell? I'm trying to be honest with you, so I'm not going to make this crap up. Not, you got that right, Jimmy Stewart. Oh, boy, do you have that right. You know, there's this sort of famous cliche image of a prisoner in a cell, and on the wall, the little markings of him tallying the days.
Oh, yeah.
You know, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then you scratch across for the fifth. 9 left, Murray. We have 9 left. 9 shows of the Baseball Reporters to do in this hellish 2020 godforsaken season. 9 shows remaining. There will be no show tomorrow night because the Denver Nuggets have taken the Clippers to 7 games, which means the Celtics start at 6:30 right here on 98.5, pregame at 6. So no show tomorrow. Jimmy, once again, play the music. No show. Okay, that said, and I've told you this before, given the relative zero interest in the Red Sox, we have phone lines open, so 617-779-0985. If you want to talk Sox, now's your time to do it. Here's a question I have for you. Really, what do you want them to do this offseason? What do you want them to do? And when I say that, I ask because I stumbled across a story today in Baseball America, which I think very, very highly of. For those of you who are hardcore baseball fans, you already know what Baseball America is. For those of you who aren't, I'm going to tell you, it's a trade publication that I think even people in the game rely on for insider information. Baseball America is really into sort of the draft, player development, team building, all of that stuff when it comes to Major League Baseball. And they do it very thoroughly. It's not an overly opinionated publication. It's more of a factual publication that provides data and minutia on every level of the minor leagues. But I can tell you that people in the game respect it immensely. So here's why I'm telling you this. The Red Sox hired Chaim Bloom to rebuild their baseball operation from the inside out. Chaim Bloom is the chief baseball officer, as we know, which is the fancy way of saying in this day and age that he's the general manager. So Chaim Bloom was with the Tampa Bay Rays, I think, effectively for about 15 seasons. I think he started there in 2005, you know, and worked his way up slowly but surely, went right up the ladder. So I stumbled on a story today in Baseball America. I think this is at the end of last year. Okay, December 31st, 2019. So by then, Bloom had already become the general manager of the Red Sox, and the season had been completed, and much of the offseason was in the books already. Baseball America did a listing of the best organizations in terms of drafting over the last 10 years. Okay, 10-year period of drafting in the major leagues. Which organizations were the best, who was the worst, et cetera, et cetera. So it probably should not surprise you to learn that, for example, number one over the last 10 years, drafting now, drafting, not international marketplace, et cetera, et cetera, but drafting, Houston Astros, George Springer, Carlos Correa, Alex Bregman, it's, you know, they go right down the list. Number two, Chicago White Sox. Three, Miami Marlins. Four, the Blue Jays, and you're starting to see the benefits of that now in Toronto. The Mets, Jacob DeGrom, Pete Alonso, Michael Conforto. Mets have also had some good years in there. Where do you think the Red Sox ended up on that list?
Oh, probably in the 20s.
Okay. Gut reaction, I said the same thing. They're ninth.
Really?
And here's why. The Red Sox ranking is heavily buoyed by their legendary 2011 draft class.
Buoyed.
What did I say, buoyed?
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
Yeah,
it's like, what do you mean?
It's buoyed. You're right. B-U-O-Y. I read it as buoyed, but that's right. It's buoyed.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
You're correct, Murray. No, no, that's fine.
Not to be confused with booyah.
God knows we get the time, Murray. I'm okay with the distraction. So the Red Sox were ninth because of their 2011 draft class, which included Mookie Betts, Jackie Bradley Jr., a bunch of guys in that draft
class. All right, so it's really weighted because of Betts.
Correct. So it should be a lot worse.
Yeah.
Okay, should be a lot worse. So they were ninth. But here's my point. Where are the Tampa Bay Rays? So now again, this...
Right, this is the important thing now that Bloom is here and he's been there for over a decade.
Exactly right, Murray. So Chaim Bloom had already been hired by the Red Sox. This story was published at the end of 2019. So it gives Tampa credit for everything that happened while Chaim Bloom was there. Okay, everything that happened. And again, remember, he was not the general manager there.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't necessarily go on his resume, but everybody looks at the Rays and said, well, the Rays have been this player development operation. They've drafted and developed international free agents. They've identified young talent. They use analytics and they compete despite no payroll. So where would you guess, Murray, that if the Red Sox finished ninth, and I read to you some of those other teams, where would you say the Tampa Bay Rays finished?
Well, they shouldn't be past 14 or 15, I would think.
19th.
Wow.
19th. The Red Sox were ninth. The Rays were 19th in the draft, according to Baseball America, between 2010 through 2019. 19th. Now, and this is the summary that Baseball America provides. The Rays drafted exceedingly poor outside of a few big hits. And they name Snell.
Blake Snell.
Blake Snell. I was going to say Ian Snell. There used to be a pitcher named Ian Snell, and I keep calling him
Pittsburgh
Ian.
Pirates right-hander.
Yes. Blake Snell's way better than Ian Snell. But Blake Snell, Kevin Kiermaier, but they remain competitive on the strength of the previous decade's drafts and savvy trades. Now, the decade prior was Longoria, David Price, those guys.
Wade Davis.
Okay, so some of those guys were still around at the beginning, so that's why they were able to win. And then, as I said, the story also makes an interesting point, and savvy trades. So, for example, Austin Meadows, they got in a trade with the Pirates, along with Tyler Glasnow, I believe, was in that deal.
Okay, so I was going to say, Glasnow was the name I was actually thinking about, but that came in a trade.
Correct. Right. So this is now on the one hand, this is good news because you look at it and say, okay, well,
they can assess talent and make a deal and find it that way.
Right. But the only reason you're trading those good players is because you can't pay them.
Your draft picks stink.
Right. Who's the right-hander they traded to the Pirates? Archer. Chris Archer.
Chris Archer, yeah.
So Chris Archer went to the Pirates. They got Glasnow and they got Meadows, and there was something else in that deal, but they identified talent in another organization. Isn't that easier? So my point is, once they start playing minor league ball, you can watch guys compete against other players, and then they distinguish themselves very early and very clearly through the process. Now, again, if you can identify a talent in A-ball, so be it. That's harder. But the farther they get up the chain, the easier they are to identify. That's when the prospects become clear. So here's my concern with Chaim Bloom. They drafted poorly, and a lot of their good players in recent years have come from trade. So can Chaim Bloom really identify talent? Or does he have to wait for it to come to the surface like everyone else does? And to me, this is something worrisome, and it brings me back to that question. What do you want the Red Sox to do this offseason? Are you okay with a slow, methodical rebuild? Or do you want them to be aggressive on the free agent market? And this free agent market is not good, particularly as it pertains to pitching. How do you want them to handle it? Do you have faith that Bloom can get it done? Because when I saw this story, I went, oh boy, that's scary. That's scary. Chaim Bloom was in Tampa, and their drafts over the last 10 years were ranked 19th, while the Red Sox were ranked 9th. That is scary. That's scary, and it has me alarmed. So again, the analytics are one thing. Trading for prospects in another organization, that's another thing. But remember, the Red Sox don't typically trade for prospects in other organizations because they're the ones giving up prospects because they're in contention. So there's a little bit of a balance there that is tricky to negotiate. And I think that in the case of Chaim Bloom, I'm not entirely sure he's the right guy to build through the draft. Tampa has not drafted well the last 10 years, despite what people believe. Now, they've hit on a couple, but according to Baseball America, the Red Sox were actually better over the 10-year period. Think about that. Now, on the free agent market, there is a big name who's in contention for the Cy Young Award this year, and he's a free agent. We'll discuss who that is and ask whether you really want him. We'll take your phone calls when we come back on the Baseball Reporters.
This is the Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is the show that's all about baseball. The Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, welcome back to the Baseball Reporters. So again, Red Sox have a lot of work to do, as we all know. Organizational rebuild. Big emphasis on the draft, presumably. According to Baseball America, Chaim Bloom and the Tampa Bay Rays, 19th among the 30 major league teams in draft effectiveness or excelling at the draft grade over the last 10 years. 19th. The Red Sox were 9th because in the early part of the decade, they actually did well. They had a good 2011 draft. Now, that was a long time ago. So the Rays have been better at it than the Red Sox have recently, but they did it as a 10-year sample. And so, if Chaim Bloom's going to build through the draft, A, that's going to take a while. For example, Blake Snell was drafted, I believe, in 2011. By the time he became a Cy Young Award winner, it was 7 years later. Nobody in Boston is waiting 7 years for a Cy Young Award winner. That caliber of pitcher. And the Red Sox need it. And Chris Sale's not going to be ready for the beginning of next season. Don't kid yourself. There have been reports out there that may not be ready. He's not going to be ready at the beginning of next year. Don't be ridiculous. The chances of that are slim. Which brings the free agent market into play. Not many great names, pitchers, available in that market, but there is one who's having a great year right now. The question is, do you want him? Ryan in a car knows who it is. Ryan, what do you got?
So Tony, I just want to say that this team's a disgrace. They're unwatchable, but I just want to know if you think the Sox will go after a guy like Trevor Bauer and if you think they should.
So, Ryan, don't hang up. Don't hang up, Ryan. I want to know, what do you think of Bauer?
I think he's having a great year, and they need help somewhere.
Okay, so would you pay him?
I think they should pay him. Bring him in.
Okay.
Get some help.
Okay, so thanks for the call. So Trevor Bauer, believe it or not, is having an absolutely fabulous season, right? I'm going to get you the numbers in particular.
Cincinnati?
Yeah, Cincinnati Reds, which is a hitter's ballpark, by the way. Now, again, you'd say instinctively, well, it's National League, but they have a DH there this year. And Bauer this year in eight starts is 4-3 with a 1.74 ERA. Now, all the stat nerds and the analytics guys will tell you that 4-3 is a bad way to judge a pitcher. I still think winning matters. But nonetheless, 1.74 ERA, two complete game shutouts, and these are the numbers that should really catch your eye. In 51 2/3 innings, Bauer has struck out 71 guys and walked only 13. Okay, he leads the league. It might even be all of the majors. Has only allowed 4.9 hits per nine innings. Has allowed only 2.3 walks per nine innings, which is exceptional, while striking out over 12 batters per nine innings. His whip is under 0.8. So Bauer has been phenomenal this year. Now, I'm trying to look up quickly, Murray, what his salary is for the 2020 season. Okay? So you're going to have to bear with me here, folks, for 1 second. While I look up Bauer's salary. Okay, so my guess is Bauer's going to come in around, if I had to guess right now, I would say something like $15 million. But I'll give you an exact number here in 1 second. Bauer over the
17.5.
Okay, 17.5, so a little higher than that. He's 17.5, which means he's going to want more than that on the open market. If he wins the Cy Young Award, he's going to be looking for somewhere around $30 million a year. Remember that Gerrit Cole got, I'm not even going to remember, 9 years and 300 and whatever it was. $35 million a year-ish, $36 million a year for Gerrit Cole. This guy's
324.
Okay, this guy's not Gerrit Cole. 6'1", 205. He will turn 30 years old in January. So let's just make it easy. Would you give Trevor Bauer 5 years and $150 million with the Red Sox needs, Murray?
I am a no on Trevor Bauer. Age and mental makeup are why I'm a no.
Jimmy Stewart?
I want Trevor Bauer, yes. Right-handed ace. And guess what? He's got personality.
Okay, so Trevor Bauer, if you forget, is the guy who with the Cleveland Indians couldn't pitch in the postseason because he's cut his hand playing with his Star Wars drone.
I mean, I'm looking at a clip of him just from yesterday's game talking about, you know, upcoming free agency, how he's one of the best pitchers in the game.
He is.
While wearing a T-shirt that reads, "Help me get to 100,000 subscribers on YouTube by the end of 2020.
So
it's this kind of crap. I can't stand this guy.
Okay, so you say no, Murray. Jimmy says yes, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
My answer is hell no.
Ugh.
Hell no. Hell no.
Dime as.
I'd rather lose than have this a-hole on the team.
Yeah.
I'd rather lose. And really, honestly, it has nothing to do with being an a-hole. If this guy were a great pitcher, I'd say, yes, he's not. He's not. He's having a great year.
It's a contract push type thing.
But Cleveland, career, 67-53, 3.89. Pretty good. But is he worth $30 million a year? Or are you just getting yourself a better Nathan Eovaldi? Trevor Bauer is at best a number three starter. At best. Now, the Red Sox need everything from number one to like number four because what they have is effectively a bunch of end of rotation guys. So he'd be an upgrade. You want to tell me you can get Trevor Bauer for something reasonable? Get him for Nathan Eovaldi money? I would do it. 3 years. Maybe four if you pushed me. I'd trade his ass halfway through and he'd half the money. But a big time contract for that guy? No shot. No shot.
He also had a great 2018, by the way, a 2.21 ERA.
But these are the kinds of decisions the Red Sox are going to have to make because they have no choice. They have no pitching in their system, which incidentally, I want to mention, by the way, that Tanner Houck, who was the number one draft pick for them a few years ago, is going to be pitching for them tomorrow night. This is the kind of stuff that if you're a Red Sox fan, you should be watching here down the stretch is guys like Tanner Houck. Now, I don't think Houck can be a front-end of the rotation guy in the big leagues, but if you're going to watch a Red Sox game this season, tomorrow night's a good one to do. Tanner Houck is a young guy who is a prospect, highly picked, you know, first round selection. I say highly touted at one point that hasn't panned out. These are the games you want to watch. Those are the kids you want to watch.
Do you know why he hasn't panned out, Mass?
Because he sucked.
No, because they messed around with what he was in college, and they tried to change him all the way around, and he's finally back to what he was when they drafted him out of college.
So that
because
I know.
You know why? This player development system sucks when it comes to pitching.
Okay, so Tampa does a lot of this with their guys, too.
And let's draft them and change them. Yeah, that works.
So I want to get to Tanner Houck a little bit more. No, that's okay. I want to get to a little to more on him with Carrabas when we have Jared Carrabas on the next segment. Collins in Boston. Go ahead, Colin.
Hey, Mavs. Thanks for the show. Great content, guys. Just had a question. I'm not big into the MLB drafting system and how they would value draft picks, but I'm wondering if a decent strategy would be sort of similar to the NFL. You throw a third-round pick, a fourth-round pick, a fifth-round pick for talent that necessarily hasn't really panned out on other teams, and maybe you throw a little bit of cash. As for the previous
Colin, I'm going to stop you for 1 second just to tell you that, generally speaking, draft picks in baseball cannot be traded. So I think they have now changed the rule, or at least they did this offseason, where compensatory selections could be a move. Jimmy, do you remember reading that?
That sounds right.
Okay, but
I think the Red Sox got a second round compensatory for John Lester the year they traded him.
Yeah,
to Oakland.
But okay. Generally, and you can acquire bonus money in trades and things like that, but you cannot trade draft picks. Go ahead, Colin.
Okay. So just quickly, as for Trevor Bauer, I'm pretty exhausted from these massive contracts from pitchers. When you know, after they have a single good year, and so that's just my thought with Trevor Bauer. I'd rather start from the bottom again and just try to find some.
Okay, so he broke up a little bit, but I think that's the way a lot of people feel. See, this is the dilemma. So the caller calls up, and he doesn't know it, and I'm not blaming him for it, but this is, you say, well, trade some draft picks down the road. You can't. Not allowed. Your options are this. Fire sale at the trade deadline, which has already come and gone, and the Red Sox, when you really look at it, didn't give up anything significant. So what kind of prospects did they get back from Mitch Moreland? What kind of prospects did they get from Brandon Workman and Heath Embry? And are those top-end kind of guys? Because it doesn't feel like they are. So they might have gotten some talent out of there, but there isn't anybody that's going to alter the course of the franchise in those deals. I don't think. So then what? You have to go on the free agent market or the draft. Well, the draft takes years. The free agent market stinks. And the caller says, even if you do have a guy like Trevor Bauer out there, is that really the kind of guy you want to spend on? They're in a big hole. They are in a big, big hole. So it's always good to bring on a Red Sox optimist at a time like this. I tried to do it with Rochy last week. We got into an argument because I thought Rochy was too accepting of the Red Sox 4 last place finishes in this decade or in the last 10 years. It's actually the last, 8 going back to 2012? 4 last place finishes when they had one in almost a century before that. Now they've had 4 in the last 8 or 9 years. So we'll check in with Jared Carrabas of Barstool Sports. He joins us next. After Murray, get you caught up on headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now, more hot takes on a short season. It's the Baseball Reporters on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's time for a Section 10 preview with Carrabas.
Yo, tell us what your podcast is about.
There you go, an oldie but a goodie. I don't even know if Jared Carrabas does the Section 10 podcast anymore.
Oh, he does. He's grown so much since that intro was made.
He has. He's blossomed into like a media giant.
Now he's got big flat screens in the bathroom that he's watching. Married to the game. We all see it. We know how much he's grown.
Well, he's much, much bigger than us now, Murray. Much, much bigger than the Section 10 podcast. He joins us now via the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Jared Carrabas, Barstool Sports. How you doing?
I won't let you pump my tires anymore, but I will say that I do have a television in my bathroom that I can watch from my shower, which is a glass door, by the way. You're more than welcome to come by anytime you want, Tony, and also Big Jim Murray. I mean, I feel like we should probably have like a little family Thanksgiving get-together at the place.
I like it.
Yeah, no thanks. I will tell you that I have a TV in my bedroom, Jared, and I just leave the door open when I'm in the shower. So there you go.
Okay, well, whatever. I'm never inviting you ever again.
If there's something important enough to watch. So, look, here's my question to you as we reach the merciful end of this Red Sox season. How do they fix this, and how long is it going to take? I mean, what is your expectation for realistically how they can do next year and how this is all going to come together? Don't you think this could be a while?
Define a while.
2 or 3 years.
Yeah, no, I do. Yeah, I think it could be around there. I remember the last time that we talked, you had a couple of quick fixes. I wasn't totally on board with all of them. Like Nelson Cruz, would I love to see him here? Yeah, but if Nelson Cruz is here, that means that JD's not here. And I think JD has kind of, you know, gotten pretty comfy in that I'm not opting out part of the season where, you know, guys hitting 200 with a 6-something OPS. It doesn't make sense for him to opt out at this point. So there goes one of your plans. George Springer. Is that a guy that you want to bring in here as an outfielder? I don't know that is quite the turnaround, but yeah, I do think it's going to be 2 to 3 years. And even if you do get the good draft pick this year and you want to go get one of the dudes from Vanderbilt and you get a top 2 pick, so you either get Jack Leiter or you get Kumar Rocker, like those guys aren't coming to save you right now or anytime soon. So yeah, I don't necessarily see them being, I don't necessarily see the dialogue around this team in spring training having to do with the World Series for, 2 to 3 years.
I mean, see, Jared, I find that alarming. The idea that the Red Sox would have to go through that long a rebuild, to me, is, I can't believe they're in this spot. And look,
well, I think it's less to do with how bad it is roster-wise, and at least for now, in the very short term, that it's more to do with what's available to them. Like the free agent market, like I told you before with the whole Trevor Bauer thing, if you want to go out and get the best free agent pitcher on the free agent market, I am taking Trevor Bauer at his word that he's going to sign a 1-year deal. And if you're Bauer, why would you come here next year?
Okay, Jared, when you say it has less to do with their roster and more to do with what's available to them, I say, what's the difference? It's basically the same thing. You're talking about not having avenues to talent. Now, look, they have some on the big league roster. I mean, obviously, Bogarts, Devers been hitting the crap out of the ball for a little while now. Verdugo's had a nice year. I think they're okay with Vasquez. He's not a centerpiece, but they're fine there. Certainly, Martinez is a better hitter than he has shown. But you have very little in the minor leagues that's going to have an impact immediately. The free agent market stinks, and I'm glad you brought up the draft. How confident are you that Chaim Bloom can draft well?
I mean, if you have a top 3 pick, I don't think you have to be able to draft well. I mean, if you're talking about the later rounds, then sure. I don't know. It's not really a situation where we can say yes or no. Is Chaim Bloom good at it? But is he good at identifying talent? Yeah. I mean, I think you look no further than Tyler Glasnow, the guy that pitched, I think, on Saturday against you in Tampa. Austin Meadows that turned around 100 miles an hour on the black from Evaldi. Those are two players that Chaim Bloom identified and turned a guy from like Chris Archer into two very good young players that are going to be cornerstones of that franchise in Tampa. So, yeah, I think if you were to ask me, gun to my head, do I trust Chaim Bloom being able to identify talent? Yes, I do. But yeah, I mean, like the draft, you can be one of the best talent evaluators in the world. And once you get past that first round, even in the first round, like we've seen busts in the first round before. The Red Sox have a bunch of them. But once you sort of get past that first round, there's no guarantees. It's probably the most unpredictable draft in professional sports.
Okay, so Jared, the reason I asked that, though, is because I think there's a difference in being able to identify talent in another organization, identifying it in the draft. So, for example, Glasnow, Meadows, those guys are already playing minor league baseball. You get to see them against competition. I'm not even sure, I should look this up, what levels those guys were at when they were traded to Tampa Bay for Chris Archer. So if they're in double A, well, then anybody can identify the good players in double A. And now, you know, you get yourself probably some sort of prospect. Anybody with half a brain can figure that out. The reason I bring this up is I was looking at a story in Baseball America just a little while ago that we were talking about here on the air. And this was published at the end of 2019. Baseball America ranked the Rays 19th in drafting over the last 10 years. 19th. 19th isn't going to get it done here, Jared. So I look at Bloom and I say, what do they really have here? I have no idea what Chaim Bloom is going forward, and I just don't see where necessary. Like, I'm not even sure we can say definitively that he can identify talent. How do we know that?
No, we don't know that. No, I don't think that we do know that for sure. But that's not even like a question that, even if you have somewhat of a successful offseason this year, like, that's more of a broad question to ask. And even in Tampa, it's like, all right, so you want to look at the last 10 years drafting in Tampa and then put that all on Chaim, like he's just the lone representative making all the decisions over the last decade. Like, that's not really true either.
So look, Jared, I get that, but this is what everybody hangs their hat on in terms of him rebuilding the Red Sox organization. So they said, well, we're bringing him from the Tampa operation where they do it right. And my question is, do they? Do we know for sure that Tampa does it right? Or does Tampa just, and look, I'm not taking away from what the Rays have done. Okay, they've made some good trades, some shrewd moves, and they're a very competitive team every year. In fact, last year they're in the playoffs. But at the same time, Jared, they haven't won anything. So we talk about the Rays sometimes like they're this master organization, and yet I still haven't seen them win a World Series. According to Baseball America, they have not drafted well in the aggregate of the last 10 years. I don't put that all on Bloom, but every time someone introduces Bloom, Jared, they say he's coming from a Tampa Bay organization that has been excellent in evaluating talent.
Yeah, I mean, like that's why everyone loves Andrew Friedman, is because he goes over to the Dodgers and he gets to run the Dodgers like how he did in Tampa, but with money. So it's like now you're giving, and I know that the Dodgers haven't won anything, but they've been there, and they should have gotten there last year. I mean, like a first-round exit last year, that was kind of fluky, even though they lost the eventual World Series champions. But then they come right back this year, and they're the best team in baseball again. So, like, essentially what you're doing with Chaim Bloom is giving him the same opportunity that Andrew Friedman got with the Dodgers. Like, you can run this organization like the Tampa Bay Rays, only you're not under the same payroll constraints that you were under in Tampa Bay. So to even begin the discussion of, like, do we like what Chaim Bloom's doing or not, it's way, way, way too soon to even begin to have that discussion.
Well, I understand that, but I'm also worried about 2021 because this season has been a complete and total train wreck. So when you look at this team this year, what can you count on going into next year with regard to pitching? Are you a believer that Chris Sale will give you anything next year?
Yeah, I think you'll see him. But it just I think what they should do with Chris Sale is operate as if though he's not coming back. Like, operate as if though he is the trade deadline acquisition that you don't have to give anything up for. Like, you should construct your roster as if he's not coming back, because we don't know. I mean, he's what, going to be 31, 32? I think it's his age, 31 season maybe. So that's how you should operate, is if Eduardo Rodriguez is your ace. And even that, Tony, is a question mark that not a lot of people are really – I mean, people are penciling in like Erod as if, you know, this guy's going to come back and he's going to give you close to 200 innings again. He had the knee injury a bunch of times. But then, like, this heart condition, I feel like that's kind of flying under the radar, where, you know, you've seen people talk about this, like, this is pretty serious, where I don't know if it's career threatening, but I don't at the same time think that you can pencil him in for, you know, 32 starts if, you know, everything else is physically okay. Like, that's not something that's being talked about. So yeah, you're going to have to get creative, and you're going to have to be prepared for, like, I do think that Chris Sale is going to give you innings next year, but how many? You can get 12 starts out of that guy? I mean, you're going to have to construct your roster and your rotation as if though he's not going to be there.
Well, and the other thing is, I don't just want innings, Jared. I want good innings. And I you know, to me, I don't know when we're going to see, if we're ever going to see Sale be the same guy again. As for Rodriguez, let's say he does make 30 starts. And I know that people of your generation and ilk don't like to evaluate pitchers based on wins and losses, but to me, there's every chance that he could go 10-10, or, you know, as opposed to 19-6. Like, I just think Rodriguez is probably at, you know, when we, if we're being honest, he's a middle of the rotation kind of starter at best. At his very best, he's a number two, and even then, I'm not sure he's that.
He can be a number two.
Well, maybe. At his peak. But the question is, how often can he hit that? I want to ask you one more thing before we let you go, and that is that tomorrow night, the Red Sox have announced that Tanner Houck is going to pitch. He was a first-round selection in 2017, the number 24 overall choice in the draft. A guy that the Red Sox have yanked around like nobody's business in terms of, remolding him and remodeling him year after year on the mound. First, he was drafted as a sinker baller. They wanted to turn him into a power pitcher. Now he's back to being a sinker baller. What, if anything, can we expect from Tanner Houck?
A lot of traffic. If you go and look at some of those numbers that he's put up in the minor leagues. I mean, I would say the ERA is pedestrian. But a lot of traffic. I mean, you're looking at about a hit per inning. The walks aren't great. Yeah, the whip is like they're pushing it to like a batter and a half on the base path per inning. It's not ideal.
Oh, terrific. No, that's good. No, I mean, he'll fit right in with this group. It'll look like Christy Mathewson out there compared to the rest of these clowns.
Yeah.
Crying out loud. No, that's good. He'll fit right in, Jared. I'm so happy to hear that. Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, as always, we appreciate your time here on the show.
Tony, anytime you need me, I'm here for you. You say the word, and I'm back.
Oh, no, we need you, Jared. Believe me, we need you this year.
9 shows left.
Yeah, no, I think, oh, no, I haven't let him go yet. You still there, Jared?
I'm still here, Tony.
Yeah, 9 shows to go.
All right, I'll be on for the rest.
Well, no, that's counting tonight. Actually, after tonight, it's down to 8.
All right, so book me 8 more times. Give Billy Lanny's note. He's got my number. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, this year's Jared, we're going to let you go. Thanks a lot. All right, see you, pal.
Bye-bye.
All right, so this show this year has been, I think I'm reaching more people when I go home and lock myself in the closet and do the show. I think there are carpenter ants and dust mites and woodpeckers that are just outside the window. All those people hear me. Here? Red Sox 2020, I'm not so sure.
Did you see the tumbleweeds going by?
That's what it feels like,
yeah.
Murray.
Yeah.
We got to bring in guys like Carrabas. He says, if you need me, let me know. We need you.
Talk to you Wednesday at 6:35, buddy.
Yeah, we might have to do guests all week. It's been that kind of baseball season, though I am interested in watching Houck pitch tomorrow night. I'm not joking. And, I was so hoping Carrabas would give me some sort of positive scouting report on the guy. He says it's going to suck. There's going to be guys all over the bases. That'll make it move swiftly. That'll be a pleasant experience. Ideally, I'd really watch the Celtics tomorrow night, but I think I got to record Tanner Houck. See if I can dump on another Red Sox draft pick. Wow.
This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show. The Baseball Reporters on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.